Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, Jacob took his sons, and he brought them close to him, and he blessed them. He took the two sons, if you remember, the two sons of Yosef, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. And it is a custom that had been done for many years among the people of Israel, putting the hands on the children and blessing the children, wishing them God's blessing, wishing them to prosper in their life and to live for the God of our fathers. This is a custom that had been practiced by the leaders of Israel, by the parents, by the fathers, by the rabbis, and it is a custom that had been passed on from generation to generation. So now, as the people bring the children unto the Lord, the disciples were not too happy. And why they were not too happy? Perhaps they wanted the Lord Yeshua to rest a little bit. He was very busy. They may have meant well. But as they brought the children, they rebuked those who brought them and they hindered them to come to Yeshua, the Messiah. But the Lord is now teaching a second lesson. Not only that it is very, very important to maintain the marriage union as it had been given by divine design, but now, in addition to that, we all need to learn the importance of becoming like children by simply believing and depending upon God for whatever He is providing for us. So when Yeshua saw that the disciples rebuked those that brought the children, he was very much displeased. And he said unto them, "Suffer the children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in." Now here's the second lesson, beloved brothers and sisters. We're not talking about a rebellious child here. We're not talking about a child that is here disobey his parents. The thought is here is that the children are an example or representation of those who are in need, those who are independent upon others, the parents. They are in need of complete help and support and nourishment. The baby needed the parents to carry them, the mother to nourish them. It is a picture of the need for us all to simply come to God by faith, believing and trusting Him that He is the one that is going to bring us into a relationship with Him. And so in these verses, how wonderful it is to see that the Lord said to them, "Unless you receive the kingdom of God as this little child, you shall not enter in." That teaches us of the importance of simply believing God's word, not seeking to enter into the kingdom of God with my own merits and activities and abilities and maybe a relationship with someone else. We all have to come to God on the basis of faith and faith alone. We need to become like these little children to simply trust in God and enter into the kingdom of God simply by faith in Him. Could you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 for a moment? In the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we read of the future day when the Lord will restore Israel to Himself. And there we notice how He is speaking about the little children or the young ones. It says, notice in chapter 40 and verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He will carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. This is a messianic prophecy that speaks of the second coming of the Mashiach, the Messiah, when Israel will be restored, and even the little lambs, the young ones, he will lead them, he will feed them, he will carry them, he will provide for the young ones. What a lesson it is, beloved brothers and sisters, for you and I as we are reading these texts today. The importance of coming to the Lord simply to trust him by faith, and as little children to enter into the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And so he took them, verse 16, up in his arm, and he blessed them. Notice, he carried them up, and he eventually blessed these children. And again, the blessing of the children is something that was common among the people of Israel, like Jacob, like Isaac, like Abraham of old, who blessed their children, their families, when they have sought to bless their children. So we finish with lesson number one, verses 1 to 12. Marriage is honorable, and God desired the marriage union to be maintained. Number two, verses 13 to 16, Yeshua taught about the importance of becoming like children and trusting God by faith in order to enter into a relationship with himself. And the third lesson that I would like to mention to us all today, dear brothers and sisters, is in verse 17 to verse 31. I will kind of put it together in order for us to understand the lesson. And the lesson is the importance of recognizing that we have a need, who we are before God. That's one of the reasons why people are not getting saved today. Many do not get saved today, is because they don't recognize their true condition before the Lord. Many think that they are right and God's supposed to accept them no matter what. They never look at themselves as people who fail and have sinned. They look at themselves and they say, I'm a pretty decent individual. I've accomplished a lot in my life. Therefore, God should accept me and should not reject me. Here we learn a lesson of the importance of seeing truly who we are before God. What God thinks of us. You know what Paul quoted Psalm 14, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul knew why he's saying what he's saying. God is holy. Man had failed. Man departed from him. And in order for man to be restored, men have to admit, men and women, people need to admit who they are before God. But here's a man who did not see that. And so verse 17 of Mark chapter 10, we read, when he was gone forth into the way, he was heading to Jerusalem, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Here's a man we do not know actually who he is. We don't have his name. But here's a man, the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew said that he was a rich young ruler. He was a ruler in Israel. He was well-to-do. And he's approaching sincerely to Yeshua the Messiah. He's actually running to him. Verse 17. Not only that he's running, he's falling on his knees. And he's saying to Yeshua, he's calling him good master. Rabbi Tov. You're a good master, you're a good teacher. And then he says, what shall I do that I will inherit eternal life? Now you can see that he was sincere. He's running to Yeshua. He recognized something unique about him. He's calling him Rabbi. In fact, he's calling him good Rabbi, Rabbi Tov. And then he's saying to him, He asked him a question. The question was, you know, Rabbi, I would like to have eternal life. What can I do that I will inherit eternal life? The word eternal life in Hebrew is chayei olam. I want to inherit eternal life. I want to live forever. Not only now, here and now, but I want to live forever and ever. I want to have eternal life. Rabbi, good Rabbi, what shall I do that I will inherit eternal life? Notice, beloved brothers and sisters, this one single word. What shall I do? That word do need to be underlined. In other words, what he was assuming, that if he is going to earn eternal life and to have it, to have this assurance that he's going to have eternal life, he has to do something. That's why today, in the world in which we live in, whether it is the Jewish world or whether it is the Gentile world, the nations of the world, many would tell you that there are certain good things that they are doing, that the day is going to come when they're going to stand before God, God will evaluate like a scale the things that they have done good against the things that they have done bad. And if the scale of the good things will be heavier, then God will accept them and give them eternal life and allow them to enter into his presence, into heaven. But the Lord is really teaching an amazing lesson. He never said that it's not good to do good. He never said that it's not good or it's not right to have good deeds in the life of mankind. But he's teaching the principle that is important for everyone that is living here in this world to understand about the condition of our hearts before God. He said, you notice the Lord is always going back to the Bible, back to the Hebrew scripture. And you notice what he says in verse 18. First of all, he said to him, in verse 18 and 19, he said to him, you know, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? There is none that is good, but one that is God. He first of all saying, why do you call me good? By the way, even the rabbi, the rabbis would say, don't call me good rabbi. I'm a rabbi, I'm a teacher, but I'm no good rabbi. Because there's only one that is good, and that is God himself. Psalm 14, even you don't need to read the New Covenant, the New Testament, just read the Tanakh. Psalm 14 says that God looks from above to see if there is anyone that obey him, if there is anyone, and he says there is no good, not even one. In fact, let's say it this way, there is not good, not even you, or not even I. No good. Because man by nature has a sinful nature. There is only one that is good, and that is God. And then he asked him, and he said to him, okay, I'm telling you, there is no good, only God is good, and why do you call me good? Only God. You see, what the Lord is saying here, he doesn't mean by saying it that he's not divine, that Yeshua is not God, God the Son. Of course, we know it throughout the earlier passages. We have already learned from the earlier passages that he always claimed to be God the Son who entered humanity and became a man. He's the Emmanuel, the God with us. Of Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6. He is the son that was given. He is the child that was born. And he is called El Gibor, the mighty God. He is not saying to him, oh, I am not divine, I am not God. What he is really trying to draw him, if you can see in me, the very fact that he kneeled to him and he fell at his, he understood that he is more than just another man. But then he said to him, you know, he asked him, you know the commandments. God gave the law, the Decalogue, in Exodus chapter 20, in Deuteronomy chapter 5. He says, you know the commandment, do not commit adultery, verse 19. Do not kill or do not murder. Do not steal, do not bear false witness. Defraud not and honor thy father and thy mother. You notice all these commandments is the second half of the Ten Commandments. There are six commandments out of the ten. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, or you shall not covet, and then honor thy father and thy mother. It is in relationship between men to men. Don't harm others, honor your parents, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't commit adultery, do not defraud. Everything that had to do between men and another fellow man. He says, did you hear the commandment? What does the Bible say? What did the law say? The law that God gave us says. Well, and you notice what this man, he answered him and he said in verse 20, Master, all these have I observed for my youth. He was saying that externally, he have done all these things. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't steal from anyone. He honored his parents. He didn't bear false witness. He didn't murder anybody. He was, in a sense, outwardly a pretty decent man. And you would say, you remember the Apostle Paul said, Shaul Paul, he said that I have been concerning the law, I was blameless, Shaul Paul said. And then later on he understood that even though he externally thinks I've done pretty decently things in my life, but I have an internal problem, the Apostle Paul understood. And the internal problem that he had, that he was coveting, and he said, except the law said, thou shalt not covet, Romans teaches us, chapter 7, I would know that there is sin in me. And this man apparently was basing his relationship with God upon the external things that he does. A pretty moral, pretty decent man. And you can commend him for that, because he did externally, he was very, very upright, you might say. He was a moral man, he didn't commit adultery, he didn't steal, he didn't lie. He honored his parents. He was reverent to his parents. You might say a pretty moral man. But he didn't know his heart as before God. That is the problem, beloved brothers and sisters, that people have in general. We all have this problem by nature. We all have to realize that even though we have treated others pretty decent, we have behaved in the right way, but there is an embedded problem that we have. That David of old said, in sin did my mothers conceive me. That Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And Peter said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And Job said, I abhor myself. That's the problem that he needed to learn. And so Yeshua, you notice how amazing. After Yeshua said to him, did you what the commandment said? He said, all these, notice, all these have I observed. I did it. And then Yeshua looked at him. And he said he loved him. And he said, okay, I'm confident you may have done all these things externally, but let me tell you, I want you to do one more thing. And then notice in verse 21, he says, one thing you lack, he says, go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come back, take up the cross, and follow me. And then we read, he was very sad. Of that saying, he went away grieved, for he had great possession. In other words, we learn that he had an internal problem, by the way, that we all have. Thou shalt not covet. He had great riches. He was a well-to-do man. And by the way, it had been said that he must have been the only man that left Yeshua sad and grieved. Anyone who came to the Lord and accepted him left him joyful. Here's a man that left the Lord. He was sad and he left the Lord. He was grieved and he was sad because he had great possession. And by the way, the last commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet. Covetousness comes from within. This is an internal problem, even though no one sees it. Yet we have this internal problem of coveting, desiring the things that are not ours, wanting something that someone else has, wanting more than what I have, dissatisfied with the things that the Lord have allowed me to experience in my life. Be content with such things as ye have, for he had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But we know our hearts. And even though nobody sees it, and externally we have done everything that seems to be right, but we have this internal problem. And that is what condemns us and shows us that before God we are guilty. And so Yeshua now, and just please bear with me, Yeshua now, after he left, Yeshua looked around. Notice verses 23. All the way to this verse 31, after he left, look what Yeshua is saying. And for this, you can just imagine, here's the disciples here, and Yeshua is the one that is instructing the disciples. In verse 23, he looked about and he said unto his disciples, he's now talking to his very own disciples who did follow him. He says, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. And Yeshua answered again, and he said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that listen, for them that trust in riches, them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And he gave them a very interesting remark. He said, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, over the generation, people came up with the idea that what the Lord really meant, it's not necessarily a little needle that a lady, you ladies are sewing and knitting, but that he meant something else, that there were gates in Jerusalem, and one of the gates is called the gate of the eye of the needle. Now, I don't think it is correct, because I've been many times, this is my city, there's not one gate that is called the eye of the needle. But in any rate, if this is true, in order for a camel to enter into the eye of a needle, to this small door, he has to unload all what a camel has in order to be able even to crawl in and enter into that door that, assumingly, speaking about the eye of the needle. But beloved brothers and sisters, personally, my understanding is really not that the Lord was calling any gate the eye of a needle. He simply wanted to illustrate it with the picture. A camel will never be able to enter into an eye of a needle that a lady, you ladies, using to knit or to sew. It is impossible. And therefore, if one trusts in wealth, or trust in his or her works, he or she will never be able to enter into the kingdom of God, because it is not on the basis of works that we enter into a relationship with God. We enter into a relationship with God on the basis of one work, and that's the work that Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, and our Lord have accomplished when he died for us on the shameful cross on the tree. And I'm just going to conclude with a verse or two in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. The apostle said to the brothers and sisters in Ephesus, he says, for by grace are ye saved, and it is through faith, and it is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And then he adds, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 9 of Ephesians 2, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we conclude with this, that the Lord Yeshua said to everyone there, how hard it is for those who trust in riches, not those who are rich. There's no problem to be a rich individual. The problem is not riches. The problem is trusting in riches for salvation. You know, there are many a rich men, a rich women that God have used and to bless the gospel, the work of the Lord. Abraham was a rich man. Isaac was a rich man. Jacob was a rich man. The issue is not their wealth. The issue is trusting in this wealth and saying, I'm rich, I'm able to buy my way into the presence of God. Thank God for those who are well-to-do, and God used them to be a blessing in the work of the Lord worldwide. And so it says here at the end of these verses, in verse 28, Peter began and he said unto him, Lo, we have left all and we have followed after thee. And Yeshua answered and says, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers and wife and children for my sake and the gospel's sake, but he shall receive hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, and even with persecution, and in the world to come he will receive eternal life. Many are first shall be last, and many that are last shall be first. Well, the third lesson is that we cannot trust ourselves in order to enter into a relationship with God. We must trust our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, not our riches, not our doing, nor our accomplishment, but simply to recognize, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Accept Yeshua, the Messiah. Embrace him as our Lord and Savior, and we will have eternal life. As it is said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord for the work that Yeshua had accomplished for us. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.